All right, let's get us started correctly here. Let's get it pumped up. Hit it.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him. Well, yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him. And you can't live without him.
How is it possible that we can come to this place sometimes, spend an hour and a half here, and forget why we came? I mean, that is what it's all about right there. We're here for one reason and one reason only, and that's because he did that. All right. Hey, children, you can be dismissed and go downstairs because we're going to talk about grown-up stuff now. Man. What are y'all talking about this morning? What are y'all talking about this morning? I do.
Salvation.
Redemption.
Attitude.
Can you make sure you cover attitude twice?
You better cover it on that side of the room twice. Modifying.
Fair enough. Guys, this week is definitely different. It's definitely something that sometimes, man, You can, no matter where you are, whether it's a church, whether it's your home, work, wherever you are, you just need that booster shot. You need that burst of something new and something different. And I got to tell you, this church and everyone in it needs to rejoice today because we are under attack. We have been besieged. We have been taken all the way to task. And right now it's time that we stop, realize where we are, and we thank the Lord that we are under attack. Because I ask you this, who gets attacked? In this world, who gets attacked? When you walk down the road and you see a puppy, You don't walk up and kick a puppy, right? Because puppies are cute and cuddly. You know, a little cute and cuddly thing. You don't go kick a puppy. You know what you do? You go up to the biggest, baddest dog in the yard, and that's the one that you pick on. That's the one that you try to put your dominance up against. And see, as a small little church sitting here in this little town of Monticello in the back of a thrift shop, Satan didn't even worry about us. But every week, as these chairs fill, every Wednesday night, as this group overtakes this room, every week as you guys go and volunteer at the food bank, and you go out into the communities, and you feed people, and you help people, and we take them places. I mean, Renee spends more time driving people places than she does sleeping. I mean, the more stuff, the more works, the more just amazing, godly things that we do as a community. I mean, this guy back here, he's in here teaching a Bible study. And then he goes home and they're trying to get his house fixed up for his family. And how many people show up every week with materials and tools and they just start helping, right? As we get bigger and bolder, we become a threat. And I'm here to tell you today, we have become a threat. We are now a recognized threat to Satan. And as such, he's coming after us. And I think, man, how amazing that is that he's afraid of us. Can you believe that he's afraid of the thrift shop? I mean, we got all these giant churches in our community and these brick and mortar churches. And you know what? They've got big, pretty buses. All of them right now, they're dressed up in their suits and their ties. And they're looking at each other saying, I approve. That is a very nice suit you have there, Tom. Amazing. You know what? Satan's scared of us. Satan's scared of the fact that these five college kids and their uncle came out here at a moment's notice because God called them. They didn't come because they're getting paid. Y'all aren't getting paid. Okay. They didn't come because they're getting paid. They didn't come because they thought this was going to be a venue of 500 people. They didn't come because they thought that this was their doorway to finally break into Monticello. You know why they came? They came because somebody called them and said, I need you. Jesus needs you. God needs you. Can you help? And they all said, okay. And then they got here this morning and they were like, wow, you weren't kidding. You are in a thrift shop. And I think Mark bought something. He did. Yeah, he's got a nice dress for his wife. So that's pretty. So, you know what? I'm going to cover that. What? Was it for Jimmy? Where did Jimmy go? Is he trying? Oh, there you go. You know, the thing is, as a church, sometimes we got to stop and we got to look at ourselves and we got to ask ourselves, why are we here? We're not here to show up on Sunday morning, listen to a good sermon. I hope that's not why you came today. Come here, listen to a good sermon, and then rush off to the only restaurant in town. If Big Chick was open on Sunday, I'm just kidding. You know, yeah, we got Subway now, and if you park at the gas pump, they'll tell you. Just throwing that out there, don't park at the gas pump at Subway. But you guys aren't, that's not why you came. And if it is, then you're here for the wrong reason. You see, this is not a show. This is not a church that puts on a show. This is a church that teaches. This is a church where the pastor gets up every week and pours his heart out for a very long time. Was that out loud? Where he gets up here and he pours his heart out and he tells people what God's told him to say. He gets up here and he tries to teach. And the most amazing thing that I see from him is that he gets up here and he learns. And he listens. He's a man that started a church because God told him to. A man with a career, a man with a great life somewhere else. God said, hey, Jason, I need you to move to Monticello and start a church. And he said, okay. And they did. And then he got down here and he says, God, I'm not trying to get in your business or anything, but how am I going to pay for this? And what did God tell him? God said, oh, see that big church over there? I want you to go over there and ask him for it. Who in the world ever thought of that? We're a small church because we don't exist yet. We're a couple people meeting in a house. And we're going to go ask this church over there. Let's actually back it up. We're going to start a restaurant. I think I'm going to go over to Big Chick and ask him if we can borrow some money to start another restaurant in town that also serves chicken, only it's a little spicier. What are they going to say? Oh, that is so sweet. Bye. I mean, honestly, that's what we're looking at. And so he goes over, and this is not a Jason rah-rah fest. This is, just so you know, this is not, because I know some faults he has too, and you don't want to know. He goes over to this church. He says, we would like to borrow money to start a church. And the church says, no, but you can have some. Write some a check. So the church was born. That's kind of the quick part of it. I think there was some dancing or something involved. I don't know. Maybe some bartering. I don't remember specifically. And I don't know if he had the ponytail yet, because that might have been different. But you know what they said? They said, you're going to reach people that we can't. You're going to reach people that we will never reach. So, yeah, you're not competition. This is church. Church is not this building. And if it is, God has no class. Church is not where we meet. Church is all the people that come together. And I'm just amazed at the people that show up here every week and pour their hearts out. And we have something here that a lot of churches don't have. We have this thrift shop out here. And it's funny because on the one hand, you go, you mean a thrift shop? And my first reply is, yeah, that's how we pay the rent. Now, show me the other churches in here. What do you think the bills are in some of these big churches? I bet their power bills more than, everything that we do. I mean, we're in a thrift shop. These guys, they're not running a storefront out front to help pay the rent. The fact is, we can do so much in this community, and it's amazing that Satan is afraid of us. But with that comes the fact that I can sit in here and I can tell you guys, man, it's so awesome we're being attacked. I will promise you, unless there's something seriously wrong with you, you've never laid on the ground while somebody ground and pound you, while somebody beat the living tar out of you and said, this is so awesome, thank you. But see, that's what I'm asking you to do today. Because I don't know if you've noticed the attacks we're under, but if we look just at our pastor's family right now, where are they at right now? They're hurting. We have one of our longtime church members, you know, do y'all call her Miss Dee Dee? Because Miss Diane, see, on the Facebook page, it's Dee Dee's Facebook page. And I was like, am I calling her the wrong name? Yeah, Miss Diane, she's in the hospital right now. She has a very serious condition. And that family's hurting. Just a few weeks ago, out of sheer complete exhaustion, Jason laid down in the grass and had to be picked up and carried inside. And had to take an entire week off to recuperate out of sheer exhaustion. But it's amazing to me what we've been talking about for 2 weeks. See, for the last 2 weeks, Ray and Jason both spoke on the same thing. What was it? Endurance. Once again, another topic that sounds so amazing. Endurance. Yes, I have that. Okay, great. Now what? Where are we going to go eat? But what is endurance? I looked up a bunch of definitions of endurance, and one that I saw that just really stuck out to me was somewhere on this vast sheet of paper. And it's big, and it's so awesome. And I just, you'll like it when I tell you. Anyway. Okay, here it is. Endurance is continuing on when every facet of your physical and mental being are telling you it's time to quit. Have you ever been there before? Come on. Oh, we're interactive. Don't sit there and sit on your hands. How many of you guys were in the military? Anybody over here in the military? Tristan? Oh, you can't talk about it. That's right. How many of you guys were in the military? Do you remember? Did you go through Paris Island? Where'd you go? Oh, you're an Army? Oh. So, Austin was in the Army. He was up at the crack of noon every day. Tell them about it. Sometimes they didn't have cupcakes. They had to cut their own slice of pie. The Army's hard work, man. It's not like the... I'm joking. I was in the Army, too. In the Army, you can do basic training. You ever seen Band of Brothers? And they yell, Kurahee, and they run up this hill until they pass out. And then they make them get up. Because, see, these drill sergeants know something. What they know is, you passed out. Oh, that is so precious. Now get up. Because When the enemy's chasing you and you're carrying your rucksack and your rifle, you know the rifles you played with as a kid? Yeah, those are fun. Now you've got an extra 500 rounds of ammo strapped to you all over and everything you need to survive in case we lose you for a few weeks. Now run up that hill. Oh, and by the way, they got shooting at you. Now run up that hill. See, endurance is not a feel-good thing we talk about. My wife, absolutely amazing instructor at Gold's Gym. And if you could, when you go out on the floor sometimes, she teaches this weightlifting class, right? And she's up there on stage and she's doing it to music, you know, kind of a, you know, and she's going. And it's lightweight, high rep. And after an hour, she's sweaty and nasty and I won't hug her. But she teaches this amazing class. People just rave about it. And sometimes she'll be asked to teach a class and she'll show up and realize, you know, she's kind of the sub for somebody that day. And so she shows up and doesn't know anybody. And they'll look and go, oh, yeah, Renee's not here today. Let's go out here. Because they maybe don't know her. She's real good at going out on the floor. She'll go out on the floor and she'll look for the bodybuilder guys. You know, the guys that are, and the veins are poking and things are happening and smells are going on. And then they drop it and they throw it down really hard. Yeah. And she'll go get them. Hey, you guys should come take my class. And they're like, sure, we'll take your class. She's kind of cute. So they'll follow her and she'll teach her class. And how do they usually do? How do the big bodybuilders usually do in that class?
Not well.
They usually get up there and they'll look at the amount of weight she puts on her bar and they'll go, well, obviously I have to do that plus this 45 pounder, you know, to kind of really let her know next time you want to play with the big boys, and they'll put those on. And they say things that I can't say here. And they yell words and sometimes they leave. And always afterwards, and Steph, do you ever taunt them at all? No. There's no reason to, because they're doing it to themselves. These guys fall on their face. You see, they're big, they're bulky. They have this short-term, awesome body strength. They look great, and they walk around, and they flex all the time. And you know, they're the guys that are like, right, yeah, just like this. Just like Daniel's doing right now. Show it, Daniel. Daniel, show him. Man, I thought you were flexing for us. Come on, let's see it. You know, they're the guys out on the beach, and you're like, looking for the bathroom. Like, oh, the bathroom's that way, you know, but they can't pick up 20 pounds 100 times because they have zero endurance. And as I look at this church, I see some guys here that you guys are hungry and you're asking, what can we do? We don't want to sit here, right? We don't want to sit idly by and let things happen around us and say, what could we have done? Great sermon, let's go eat. That's not why we're here. If you wanted to do that, there's so many churches around here. What I like about you guys, the first time we showed up, Stephanie and I walked in and she said, wow, these look like our people. And I was like, what does that mean exactly? What are our people? And I look around and I realize the first day we were here was Sandwich Sunday. And I was like, oh yeah, these are our people for sure. I like this. There's a guy by the name of, some of you might actually know him, which is really weird the way things tell you. I had a good friend by the name of Bubba Bryant. He passed away a few years ago. Bubba was an excellent teacher, and I remember he told me a story one day, and the story was that one day this guy felt led to go to church. He'd never been to church before, but God told him on his way home from work, you need to go to church. So guy stops at a church, first one he sees, and he walks in, big, beautiful church. He sits down in the back, wearing blue jeans, t-shirt, whatever he had on. Preacher preaches a great sermon. He's listening. And after church, he's, well, what do you call them here? We call them little biddies, you know, the little old ladies in the front. They come over, they go to the pastor, and they go, did you see? Oh, we call, what we, not, no, not you. No, I meant, sorry, babe. I meant her. Yeah, her. And they go to the pastor, and they say, I don't know if you noticed or not, but there was this guy in the back, and he was, well, really dressed very well. You might want to say something to him. And the pastor says, oh, okay, I'll do that. Thanks. So he goes up to him. He goes, hey, what'd you think of the service? And the guy goes, oh, man, it was phenomenal. The music was awesome. The way you had these books with the words in them already. And I got a good nap. It was awesome. And to sit there and listen to you speak, it was amazing. I loved it. And the pastor goes, you going to come back? And he says, oh, absolutely, I'm going to come back. And the pastor tells him, why don't you go home and pray and ask God what he thinks you should wear to church. And he says, man, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that. Thank you, Pastor. So he goes home. Next week comes around. He shows up. He's wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt. He's sitting in the back. Those old ladies, not you. These are old ladies. I mean, oh, yeah. Yeah, these old ladies in the back, they see him and they go, Pastor, he's in jeans again. Pastor's like, I'm going to have to go talk to him. So he goes to the back and he goes, hey, do you like church today? And he goes, you nailed it again. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. He goes, did you pray like I told you? He goes, I did. He goes, well, what did he say? He said he'd never been to that church before. He didn't know what he was supposed to wear. Now let that sink in a second. Do you think anyone could ever come here and leave and feel like God doesn't know about us? It's not a vibe I ever got from you guys. I mean, from day one, when I walked in the door and Jason said, how do you feel about teenagers? What? No, I'm just here because I heard y'all had free food on Sunday. He's like, great, so you're a new youth pastor. Yeah, I knew that God was here. And I don't ever want to be that other church. But like I said, we're being attacked. So what do you do when you're attacked? What are some weapons that we have as a church and as individuals that when we're attacked, we can fight that off? What weapons do we have? Anybody? Norm? Anyone? Bueller? What do you got? Nancy raised her hand. The whole armor of God, right? The whole armor of God. Y'all remember the whole armor of God? Because I may or may not have it here. I did we set that up, Nancy? No one's going to believe that, right? It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. With the belt, did I skip a whole line? So the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's so easy to read to kids. And then you can play a cool video where somebody's strapping on some cool things and they, oh, that's amazing, that's awesome, that's cool. Can we play video games after you quit talking, Mr. Jimmy? But what does that mean for adults? What does that mean for teens that are going back to school in a few weeks? That when they get up in the morning, that they're not going to where Jesus lives. Because we kicked Jesus out of school a long time ago. He was a rebel. He didn't fit in there. And we're sending our kids out there. And we can do our best to say, well, we're going to protect them from that. How long can you protect them? How long can you not let your kids go somewhere where Jesus doesn't live anymore? So you guys are about to go out and start school a couple of weeks. I'm so excited. You guys are about to go out. And to stop and think that we're sending you someplace that not only kicked Jesus out, but has banned him. He's not allowed there anymore. It's kind of scary as a parent. And as a church, we go out to places all the time that we're not allowed to go anymore. Do you know I got an email this week from the high school asking if we had people be willing to come and give a short spiritual message, Christian spiritual message, to the football team before every game. And I don't know if you've ever been to a Monticello football game. They need your prayers bad. Thank you. But I will come pray for your football team. Are you going to be on it?
Nope.
Then you can't talk. Okay, Kane's going to change everything up for us. To think that as a church, we have the ability to go to a place that we've been kicked out of now. If I were to come up here and say, anybody want to volunteer to do that? Anybody want to volunteer to go lead kids that are about to go play football for a public school? Anybody volunteer to do that? Or would we all sit on our hands? You see, what I would like to think is I would have to pick from the 20 people that volunteered, maybe have them audition to see how we can get the biggest bang for our buck. Because I'm sure, and I'm not bragging on you guys, I'm sure that out of this group, I feel fairly certain that we could probably field more players to go talk to these kids than any of these big churches can. And I'm not dissing on these big churches. Dissing on, listen to me. I am not attempting to disrespect other churches. What I'm saying is, the people that come here, man, you guys are here to work, and you guys are here to serve, and it's amazing. Out of all of that, it's one recurring thing that keeps coming back to my mind, a single verse, a single short verse. Not some long whole armor of God. Man, that's amazing. I love that. But what about this? Philippians 4:4. Anybody know that one? Anyone? Anyone? Oh, good. You're all stricken with the same thing I am. Complete inability to remember a Bible verse. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, I know Deb. I don't see her. Where'd Deb go? Is she teaching today? Okay. Deb is a school teacher. I'm sure she used old school teacher tricks. I know, Mary, you were a school teacher. Weren't you a school teacher, Mary, or did I just make something up right there? Oh, good. And if you write something on the board twice, what does it mean? It's going to be on the test, right? Yeah. If it's on the board twice, it's going to be on the test. So go back and read this short little verse, and it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometimes, not on Thursdays, not at church, but always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then it repeats itself. It actually says, again, I say rejoice. Think about the power of that. Stop and think about what that's saying. Rejoice in the Lord always. So as we're being attacked, rejoice in the Lord. As we're having a bad day, rejoice in the Lord. You're bent over throwing up, rejoicing in the Lord, but it sounds different. I've been reading your posts. Yeah. That baby's coming out soon. No matter what that condition is, rejoice in the Lord always. A prime example of that happened to me this week. Stephanie, driving home. The middle of heading home, there's this little dirt road. We live on it. And it has two entrances. One little short entrance, one long entrance that goes all the way around. And Stephanie is heading home, and she likes to go the short entrance because her car sits about an inch and a half off the ground. If you hadn't seen it, it's the green one with all the dings on the bottom. We're driving home. She's driving home, and my little daughter says what? What did she say? Let's go down the spooky road. That's so cute when you say that, Mackenzie. No. Okay, it's Carrington, actually, the two-year-old. Carrington says, let's go down the spooky road. The spooky road is the long road because it's got the trees that grow over. And even at noon, it's kind of dark back there, you know, and you kind of expect to see a dude holding his head riding a horse. And so that's the spooky road. And she turns to go down the spooky road, and it's pitch black. And she sees up ahead there's an abandoned house. And out front of it is the garbage can that's been out there for ever since we moved in the same place. And it's destroyed. It's completely crushed and destroyed. Something has hit it. Next to it is a big sign, a little marker sign. It's destroyed. And she drives up and she's looking at it on the spooky road. And she's like, oh, that is so. Ah! Little set of eyes peek out of the can looking at her. Did you literally scream? Was there screamage? There was actual screamage. Yes. Lots of, you were there? Right, you were all there for the screamage. Ken, what did it sound like? Let me hear it. Were there words that she can't? Okay. Because it happens. Okay. I know her. Okay. There's these little eyes sticking out. And so she goes over. You got out of the car? Did you really? Yeah. Who got out of the car? So they get out, and out comes this incredibly mean, snarling, five-week-old puppy. And this horrid beast had been dumped. So it seems to happen a lot out here in Monticello. And so there she is. What are you going to do? You don't leave a puppy, right? Whoever left, it's already pretty horrible person for that, but you don't leave that. So she picks up this puppy out of a garbage can and drives home with it. So we get home, and I walk in the house, and here comes this puppy running around the corner, and I went, puppy. And instantly, I had this image of my things getting chewed, of my phone, and that having to make that inevitable phone call on someone else's device to my boss to say, I need another one. And he's going to say, again? Just give me a phone. And I think, yay, a puppy. And then I think of the odors from the carpet. And the little you get up in the middle of the night and how many people have ever got up in the middle of the night and step in it? Do you go, I love puppies? Stephanie, why'd they make puppies cute? So you wouldn't kill them. Puppies are cute for the sole purpose that you kill them. So I'm not excited about the fact there's a puppy. We actually have a new dog, but he's not a puppy. Well, he kind of is. He's a puppy. But I'm not excited about it. So I went on Facebook, and I said, hey, everybody, we found this amazing dog. I figured some poor schmuck would fall for that. Some sucker would go, a puppy. So my buddy Mark here goes, a simple reply, I'll take him. And then sends me the wrong phone number. I didn't get that. But so he says, I'll take him. Okay, so I drive to McDonough and I drop the puppy off. Mark and I get to talking, and you know, man, he's fired up. He's telling me all about his college ministry at home. And I'm getting excited for him. And then he's saying, man, I've been checking out the Facebook page for your youth group. Man, it's growing every week. And we actually sit there and watch the videos, and you pan the room, and you can't believe all the kids you're packing in there. He's like, and we're doing the same thing. And blah, 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 blah. We just get talking, and we're both excited about our ministries. And then we leave, because we're guys. We don't sit down and talk forever. And we leave, and everything's good to go, right? So he's got a new puppy. I don't have to step in puppy poo. I'm happy. He's happy. And Friday. And I'm serious when I say Friday, 5 o'clock, you get a phone call. Hey, man, this is Jason. Oh, hey, Jason, what's going on? Colin, we're going to the lake this weekend. You want to meet? You want to go to the beach? Is that what we're doing? He's like, can you just handle Sunday? Okay, what, like get hot dogs or when we meet or what? He's like, no, just, you know, church. You take care of that for me? What do you mean? I can open it and let whoever's speaking in. Yeah, sure. He's like, no, just got a lot on my plate, a lot going. If you don't want to do it, let me know. I'm sure I can find somebody. And also, you know, I said, absolutely, I can do it. And I hung up with him and I went, well, I think the first thing I did was text my wife and say, guess what we're doing Sunday? And she replied, I don't know, what are you doing Sunday? Yeah. So the next thing I did was remembered this man's enthusiasm, and I gave him a call, and I said, hey, man, what are you doing Sunday? He's like, oh, I don't know, we're just blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I got a great opportunity for you. And I already figured he was a sucker enough to get the puppy, so it would. And I said, how would you and your college band like to come play and just lead worship, praise and worship for our church? And he goes, and I'm thinking, and probably, I'm going to pray about it, which is that's one of the best weapons as Christians we have is, if you don't want to say, I'm going to pray about that. Yes, I'm going to, and he said, I'm going to pray about that and call you back. All I heard was, no. So he hangs up, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, I cannot believe I just asked that, and now I feel stupid. Okay, so I'm thinking, all right, well, let me start thinking all the pieces we're going to need to make sure we have for the band. I know Jason and Julianne, I don't know if she's going to be there. I don't know if CJ's going to be here for the drums. And I'm trying to think all these pieces in my head. And I want to call people, and it's Friday. And then I remember it's Friday, and then I'm like, wow, it's Friday. And tomorrow I've got plans, and it's Friday. So I'm going through all these things. And what, about 2 hours later, Mark calls. And I'm, did you do it on purpose? The lead-in, was it on purpose? Okay, man, hey, I want you to know I prayed about it, and I'm thinking, oh, can't believe he's going to do this. And he says, I prayed about it, and yeah, we'd be happy to do that. And then he goes on. I'm like, oh, gosh, thank you, thank you. And then he goes on to explain to me. He goes, I want you to know, and I'm paraphrasing, but I want you to know the reason maybe I sounded a little aloof when you called me. He said, I had just finished praying and asking God, what more did he have for me to do? Because he said, I felt like I'm doing these things for the ministry and all and running this college ministry, but I want to do so much more. And he said, I've been praying, hey, God, can you use me for something else? What can I do? And he said, and as I prayed that, and I'm thinking about it driving along, and you call me and say, hey, would you like to come lead praise and worship for my church? I mean, that was like a moment for you. I know it was like your God moment of the day, right?
It was.
And the reason I tell you this whole story is it all started because some dirtbag kicked a puppy out on the side of the road. Oh, can you say dirtbag when you're talking? I can do that at youth. Ken, is that okay? The man who did that, who was probably very pained and having a bad day, accidentally left a puppy. No, some dirtbag threw a puppy on the side of the road to die because he didn't feel like dealing with it. And from that, we have what's kind of turned out to be a pretty good church service. These guys rocked the house, man. We all got into it. I just felt an amazing spirit in here that we really need. And I look and I see this is a church that I'm not 100% sure in the last few weeks we've responded well to attacks. And I think maybe we've kind of wallowed a little bit in our self-pity and sat back and wondered, why us? And last night I sat down and I started thinking, man, what about all the awesome things that are happening here? What about the fact that this young lady in the back here is about to have a baby? How long? What, tomorrow maybe? Tomorrow? Is that scheduled or are you just done and you're pushing? Okay, so tomorrow we're going to have a baby. No, wait, she's going to have a baby. We as a church are going to, dude, don't kill me. There's going to be a new baby here tomorrow. We've got a youth group that outgrew a mansion. Raise your hand if you own a mansion. Right here in the back, okay. A youth group that outgrew a mansion and now trashes this place every Wednesday night. We had, and it's not about numbers, so I don't want you to think it's about numbers. Because we didn't have as many kids last Wednesday as we had the week before. I mean, we still had 32, but, and that's a great number. I'll take 32 all day. But how many teenagers belong to parents that go to church here? How many, if we were a church youth group, how many kids could we get into youth group? 8? Maybe 8, 10? Okay, we're getting 32 on our bad night. What does that tell you? That tells you that these kids are on fire for it, whether the parents are or not, or whether they go to another church or not. They're on fire for it, and they're here because we serve here. And I tell you that not to brag. I tell you that to say there are some amazing, amazing, awesome things going on in this church, and we so often just tend to dwell on these negative things. And Satan attacks us, and he says, somebody's sick. It's this little darkness, and you go, ow, it hurt. Okay, somebody's sick. Somebody else is sick. Boom. You know, people are on vacation. Tithes might be low this month. Boom. Church van. We just got a brand new gift of a church van. It's in the shop. It's going to cost $1,000 to get it out. Boom. All these little things are hitting us. Every week, I got parents coming to me saying, hey, can I talk to you a second? I think my kid's experimenting with drugs. Or I think my kid's doing this. Or I think my kid's doing that. And I'm going, who is your kid? I've never seen you before in my life. And they point and I go, wow, that's their first time here. I had a parent come up to me last week and tell me about their drug problem the first night they came to youth group. I mean, that's incredible. And you can look at the negative and go, oh, that poor kid's on drugs. Satan is really attacking us. Man, I look at the positive. That kid's in church, and his mom, whether she's a Christian or not or saved or not, came up to a complete stranger with a bald head and said, help. I've heard good things, man. Help. And I think there's just so much positive going on in our church now that maybe it's really time that we shift that focus over to the positives instead of the negatives. Hit that video, Garrett.
Well, hello, Satan.
Grab your jaw. Oh! No, every time.
Wish I could say it's good to see you, but I can't.
Feeling's mutual, so we're good.
Can you get rid of that cookie? You know we're fasting for one.
You, I'm sorry, you want to go halfsies on this?
No.
You're fasting?
No.
I had no idea.
You know what I'm going to say to you?
I know, get thee behind me or something like that.
I was curious, when it comes to the church, what's your strategy?
I'm growing to like the church, honestly. You know, they stay mad at each other half the time. They hate each other. They hate the rest of the world. So, I mean, I sit back and watch the fights like everybody else. You know what I'm talking about?
So you're pretty good at division in the church. How is it that you pull this off?
One of the easiest ways is to make somebody just think that they're right, that they're completely and totally right. Another big thing, Bible versions. Everyone knows, myself included, King James is the only way to go. It's what I have in my personal library. I don't read it. I need to set the record straight on that. I don't read it. But you wouldn't see me reading one of those hippie versions of the Bible with all street language, hip-hop, Jesus stuff. You give me a scenario, I can tell you how I can make somebody fight about it.
How about politics?
Politics, easy. Christians are all Republicans, Craig. We've known that from day one.
How about music?
Music. The music's too loud. Do I have five people singing? Can we really play secular music in the church?
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Come on! This is kids play here.
How about alcohol?
Okay, no Christians drink, except that, Jesus turned water into wine, which I was there. Most people think it was red. It was white sin. It was, I didn't drink it, but I was there. Saw it.
How about entertainment?
Entertainment? Did you see what I did to Disney? I'm the king! I rest my case, Craig! I can't let the church be united. You've heard the saying, a kingdom divided against itself can't stand, or...
Yeah, whatever. It's in the Bible.
It's what? It's in the Bible? Wow, that's embarrassing. I'm sorry.
Satan, have you ever been to a church board meeting?
Absolutely. I go every Tuesday. If you've never seen a deacon just straight up cuss in the middle of church at another deacon, it's a sight to behold.
So what does it do to you when believers do come together?
Well, I don't know if you've ever been kicked out of a club when the club's just going off and there's a great DJ and drinks are half price, but it's the same feeling, you know? As long as I can keep denominations talking about what makes them them, and what they believe, and what those other people believe. You know, they're not talking about the J guy.
Jesus.
Okay, so I'm gonna warn you once. If you say that again, I'm gonna leave. Because I, you know.
So when I say Jesus, you can't take it?
You know what? No, turn your camera off. That's it.
Hey, where are you going? No,
that's it.
Hey. Hey, Satan, you forgot your cookie.
Eat it, Craig!
See, when we were saved, when we became children of God, we were never promised a happy life at that point. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, believe in Jesus Christ and your life will be easy. I mean, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that, believe in the Lord and all good things will happen to you right now and nothing bad will ever happen. You know, in our country, the death rate is 100%. Little known fact, I don't know if you do statistics or not. But it's true, 100%, yeah. And if you stop and think about the fact that we have this little snapshot of a life and that we've been saved by the individual that created it all and been saved through grace, not because we have done anything, doesn't that make serving so much easier to know that you're not out serving to earn your way to heaven? That you're out serving because you've been served. Because God loved you enough that he sent his son to die on the cross and pay for your sins. That we know that we can go out in this world and reflect God. God doesn't say he wants glory because he really needs us to pump him up every day. God does not have low self-esteem. You know what God needs? God needs for you to go out and get more players for the team. God needs for you to go out here and be godly. When you glorify God, you're not going out there to make him feel good. You're going out there to make others see what's in you, to make others see what they're missing. And as a church, I just want to make sure that that is what we're doing, that everything we do is for the right reason. Everything we do glorifies God. Every action that we take can be looked at as something positive for this community. And I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so happy to have met all you guys. And I want you to know, as so often happens, I spent 2 days, Friday, because I just found out, and yesterday preparing, and I have all this really cool stuff and materials. Man, I got Bible verses. I've got some stuff by this guy named Sun Tzu that is amazing. I got this letter I wrote to God a while back. But you know what? That's not what God told me to talk about today. God told me to tell you guys that Satan needs to be afraid of you. And to keep up what you're doing and to continue to endure, because Satan is afraid of you. That's why he's attacking this church right now. So let's all make sure that we keep that in mind, and that when we go out tomorrow, when something bad happens, actually, I am going to read my letter because this is a great closing. I wrote this letter and I put it down. I lost it now. It's gone. I wrote a letter to God a few weeks ago, and the letter says this, and this is what we're going to close with, and then we're going to pray. And apparently, according to our ushers, I forgot to ask the Lord to bless the offering, so it's probably gone now. So here's a letter I wrote last month. It's nice and short. It says, "Dear Father, in the last month I've had to replace the tires on Garrett's truck, the tires on Stephanie's car, all the tires on the Suburban. I got a bill for $700 for Garrett's ER visit. I just found out that I have to pay $5,152.38 for two new AC units for our rental house." Whew, man, God really attacked my finances that month. Then I put this: "All I can do, Lord, is rejoice and thank you, God, that we have an awesome son and that we can afford a safe truck for him, that we have a paid-for safe car for my amazingly hot wife, a paid-for large vehicle that we can use for family trips and youth group stuff." Yes, I put stuff. God and I, we're good. He's got that. "A healthy son that doctors patched up with skilled hands, and the fact that we have been blessed with the means to own an awesome rental house, and that I have a friend that gave us an amazing deal on AC units, and that the family in it will now have a more comfortable living area and lower utility bills. Thank you, Lord, so much for your awesomeness." Unfortunately, as a human being, I also added a P.S. "God, if you could please relax on that awesomeness until my savings account recovers in a few months, that would be great. I'm not telling you what to do or anything, just kind of throwing that out there." So, anyway, let's pray, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to come to you today and just thank you so much for everyone that braved the horrible, beautiful weather we're having, and didn't go to the lake, and chose to come here and worship this morning. Father, I just thank you for everyone in here and all that they do for this church and for your church. And Lord, I just want to thank you that you're putting us in a position to matter, that this church is something that Satan sees and is afraid of. And I just want to pray, Lord, that we can all remember to rejoice in the face of those attacks, and to remember that we're equipped with all the tools we need to survive and to succeed. Lord, I just pray that everyone in here can defend themselves from the attacks that will come on them. Not if, but when. Lord, I just thank you so much for your grace and for your love and for sending your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross and pay for our sins. Lord, I just want to pray for Miss Diane. I know the prognosis doesn't look good for her right now, Lord. But I just pray that you'll give the doctor skilled hands and help them to do what they can. And regardless of what happens, Father, I just pray that you'll be with the Parr family and our church family, and that you'll bless us all and be with them and help them to find peace. Lord, we know everything happens for a reason, and that you can use any situation for your glory. Also, bless the offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.